All right, everybody, welcome to the Wolfpack Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Tyler Wolf, and I'm here with Nick Lee. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. We just did, 30 minutes of jiu-jitsu.
At least somewhere around there.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, give us the shallow introduction. I don't mean shallow. Like, tell us the basic stuff. Who are you?
Yes.
You married, kids, what do you do for a living, all that.
Yeah, my name's Nick Lee. I am married. I have a wonderful wife, Brittany. I'm a brown belt. She's a purple belt. And we just recently opened a school together in Mount Pleasant, which is over by Racine.
Yeah.
It's the second location for Fluid Jiu-Jitsu. So we're both gym owners and we love that life so far. But she also works full time outside of that. And outside of running the gym, I also run a charity called City Champs, nice, which we teach free martial arts to youth in Milwaukee, which is amazing. And
you do that alongside Josh, right? Josh?
Yes. Okay, yep. Cool. Along
He's
with Josh. Yes. Yeah. I told him I was coming and he was like, oh, that's cool.
Nice.
And, along with Josh, I also do personal and business coaching.
Yeah.
So, those are kind of the three things I do on a daily basis, and which is all coaching.
But My Odyssey, right?
Yep. My Odyssey. We're also rebranding to the Gentle Art Lifestyle.
Oh, cool.
So My Odyssey is going to be more the business arm. Gentle Art Lifestyle is going to be like the personal arm of coaching.
That's cool. I'm involved in, like three or four different worlds as you are. But I know you guys through the jiu-jitsu world. But
yeah.
Then in my professional world, someone I know, a colleague, I saw you had Josh Janus on. All that to say, from a totally different world, from the outside, yes, of the jiu-jitsu world, I've just heard incredible things about My Odyssey and about you guys as a company.
That's really cool. Yeah, Josh is a wonderful person to work with.
Yeah, yeah. When I had him on the show, it was similar process of when I asked you to be on the show because I saw he was doing something really cool. And
yeah.
I think maybe TMJ did a story about City Champs or something like that. I saw it and I said, dude, you got to come on the podcast. And
yes.
Then I saw you did something really cool, which is what I want to talk about. And that's why I invited you on. But uh-huh. I want to hit you with some like more shallow questions first.
Of course.
I got to say, your gym is called Fluid. And after 30 minutes of rolling with you, I feel like that's the perfect name for you.
Yes.
Even after a first roll, I looked at you. I said, dude, don't be nice.
Yeah.
Because you feel it. Because it was like, you just flow, man. Which is cool. And I get that's part of the goal. But I was like,
yes,
but don't flow because you're being nice to me.
Sure.
I want to feel the thunder.
Yeah. That is my style. I just love movement. And yeah, that's what keeps it fun. Just trying all the weird shit and moving all the weird places.
Yeah, I love it. Cool,
man. Got to keep it creative.
Yeah, and you do. I said during our role, you have like this collection of guards and collection of techniques where I understand you have a game, especially tournament wise.
Right.
But you just have like a pretty vast knowledge, it seems like.
Yeah. As we were talking when we were rolling, I just try like so many things and then feel what works, feel what doesn't work. I think a big part of my game also is our warm-ups for most of the classes is just flow rolling.
Oh, I love
so,
that.
So like instead of, you know, shrimps are great. Learning how to bridge is good. All the beginners and fundamentals need to learn those movements.
Yeah.
But outside of the fundamentals classes, our warm-ups are typically flow rolling.
Yeah.
For like three-minute rounds.
Oh,
so
that's
we
cool.
Just move for that amount of time every day in class.
You familiar with Jeff Kern?
Yeah.
He's done a bunch of seminars around here. But I just remember one moment from one of them. He said, we bowed in, and we're about to start. And he goes, all right, let's warm up with jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's profound. And we just started drilling. You know what I mean? I was
yes.
like, oh, I love this. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the idea with that, too.
Okay, a few questions. If you had to describe you rolling on a typical training day with a song, what song would that be? And if you need to pick a band, there's no rules here.
Yeah.
Okay. If you need to pick a band or whatever, what would it be?
That's real difficult.
It could even be a genre. I don't care what
yeah.
the answer is. But how would you describe you rolling on a typical training day?
On a typical day where I'm not like rolling hard or preparing for competition.
Yeah.
I would say it's somewhere along the lines of like, I don't know if you know the DJ Porter Robinson.
Mm-mm. Yes, I do actually.
Yeah, he's actually yeah. who I was listening to on the way here.
Oh, cool.
But like, I don't know, it's like very flowy.
Yeah.
Just like my rolling was, but it's got a lot of like elements.
Yeah.
That like, if you don't know, it sounds nice. But if you do know, you're like, oh, that's like really intricate and in how he set that up.
Yes. I want to actually look up this particular Porter Robinson song to see if it's one that you listen to.
Okay.
So if you had to describe yourself, in a song for your tournament roles or maybe a tournament training, yeah. What would it be?
I don't know if you know the band Beartooth, but yeah, that's who I listen to pump myself up.
I love
The two songs I listen to back to back before every tournament is Greatness or Death and then Disease.
Okay.
Because Greatness or Death is like,
you know, I love that song.
This is for too. Greatness or yeah. Death, and yeah. That's kind of how I go out when I'm competing and try to win or die.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a line in Disease that always gets me, and it's like, I can't remember specifically, but it's like, I'm holding on and my grip is like letting go, but I won't let this take me over or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's
cool. And it's really applicable whenever I listen to it.
Yeah. Are you a musician?
I was a musician. In high school, I was in a band.
Okay.
I was in choir, but I was also the screamer in my band.
Okay.
And yeah, we did some like metalcore music.
That's cool. Beartooth, famously their drummer only has one tom on his kit. So like he doesn't use the rack tom, he just has the four tom. And he does a lot with it, man.
Yeah.
Which I feel like that translates how much you can do with so little.
You know?
I love Beartooth. Now you also, I'm remembering all these internet interactions I've had with you.
Yeah.
You went and saw Polyphia, didn't you?
Yes.
Love Polyphia. I feel like I mentioned that I have kind of a dorky ritual. Every day when I drive to the gym, I listen to the same song. Well, I have a few songs. It depends on what type of day I intend on having.
Sure.
But most of the time, I listen to, it's their big hit, Goat.
Goat, right? Yeah. I love that song.
It has some of the brutality of jiu-jitsu,
yeah.
But it also flows and it's tight. It's all the things that I want.
Yeah, would be probably the other genre to describe my jiu-jitsu for sure. Yeah, Polyphia.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's cool. So you clearly read The Comfort Crisis.
I actually haven't.
You haven't. So how'd you find it? Where? Tell me. I asked that to ask about your, what's called Misogi?
Yeah, Misogi.
Misogi. Okay, because I learned about Misogi from Comfort Crisis, so I just assumed that's where you picked up. Tell me about how you learned about this concept
of Misogi. So Josh came up with the idea of Misogi. He might have read that.
Maybe. Well, but I also, Misogi didn't originate with Comfort Crisis, so he could have learned about it.
He could have seen it somewhere, but he was reading something, and he heard the idea of Misogi, and that's kind of why he started My Odyssey. Because he used to do a bunch more challenges, and then he decided to help other people through their challenges and their personal lives and other things like that. But then he heard the term Misogi, and he was like, I really want to get back to that. So a Misogi is a challenge that pushes yourself through any sort of barrier or, like you said, any sort of comfort zone you might find yourself in.
Yeah.
And the idea of a Misogi is trying to give yourself a challenge that you don't actually know if you can complete it or not.
Right, like 50% fail rate.
50% fail rate, yes. Yeah. So, and that could be different for everybody, right? For some people, maybe they don't know if they'd be able to do an ice bath, right? Some people don't know if they'd be able to jump out of a plane. Some people don't know if they'd be able to roll for 500 minutes in 48 hours, which is what I ended up
picking. Yeah, yeah. So, and you kind of mimicked Goggins' running challenge.
Exactly.
You combined with jiu-jitsu, which I thought was so creative. So give us the criteria, and then I want to hear all about it.
Yeah, so it was because Goggins does the 4x4x48 challenge.
Yeah.
And so he runs 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. And I think that ends up being like 48 miles in 48 hours.
Yeah,
which,
plus the middle of the night.
Yeah, exactly. So if you start at, and this is what we did, it started at 8 p.m., then it was midnight, 4 a.m., 8 a.m., noon, 4 p.m., 8 p.m. So it was 8 p.m. Friday all the way to 4 p.m. on Sunday.
Wow.
But I hate running. And you won't catch me running. The last time I ran was when Josh did the 4x4x48.
Yeah.
And I ran with him at like 6 in the morning or something. and then I was like, okay, that's enough.
yeah. Not a fan.
Yeah. But I wanted to do some sort of challenge like that. And the Goggins challenge is normally in March. So beginning of March, I picked the date. But instead of running, I changed it to rolling. And I was like, well, how long does it take to run like 4 miles? Like for average person, maybe if I did a 10 minute mile,
it
could take me like 40 minutes, right? So I'll roll for 40 minutes with whoever shows up at these times.
Yeah.
And
did
do
you
that
have at
for
least
the
one training partner for each?
Yes. The least amount I think I had was like 3.
Oh, cool.
Or maybe 2 the first night. Yeah. The hard slots to fill were obviously like 4 a.m.,
right.
8 a.m., midnight slots.
Did your wife help with that?
Yeah, she did. Not every time. And she's a trooper. She ended up doing, I want to say, because we had 12 sessions, she ended up doing 7 of them. And she rolled for 300 minutes over the weekend.
Wow.
Which was amazing. Yeah, and my goal was 480 minutes for the weekend. And the last session, I felt like wonderful. So I was like, this session we're doing 60 minutes. So now it's 500 minutes total. Yeah. We got this.
That's amazing. What was the hardest window?
The 4 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Did you sleep before that one?
Well, that's the hard part because it's hard to sleep in between every time. Yeah. So I was trying to take naps as much as I could in between every training window. Exactly. Yes. And I brought like sanitizer wipes so I could like wash myself down. And I showered as much as I could, but you can only shower so many times.
Right.
So, sleeping in between. But at White Lotus, there's a lounge there. So the overnight ones we did at White Lotus so that I could sleep on the futon.
Yeah.
Which was helpful. So I got like 2 hours of sleep before then.
Wow.
But yeah, that 4 a.m. I was getting, you know, demolished by white belts.
Yeah.
Which was fun. It was good for them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, do remind me to find you next time you're rolling at 4 a.m.
Yeah, for sure.
I can maybe have a chance.
Yes.
What was your biggest takeaway from the Misogi?
Yeah. There were a few times where I was asking myself, like, why am I doing this? This is pretty dumb. Yeah. But I was able to push through it. And the biggest thing I got out of it was like how much support I had from the community, because I did have to schedule out beforehand for a few weeks. Like I had a survey. I was like, let me know when you're available to come roll and we'll get you set for a time to come help me with this challenge.
Yeah.
Because I can't like roll by myself. I had a plan if I had to, but I didn't want to just roll with I was going to roll with like an exercise ball or do like animal flow type movements for 40 minutes.
Right.
Roll with myself, do some personal drills. But that didn't end up happening. People showed up around the clock for that 48 hours, which was really awesome.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of support and a lot of people that came through. A lot of people did it multiple times. I met some new people that like my friends shared it and they're like, oh, I'll go roll at 4 a.m. That sounds real fun.
Yeah.
When else am I going to do that?
Yeah. That's cool.
So yeah, the support I got, but also there's not a lot that like drains me. I typically have like a lot of willpower and I'm rooted in gratitude a lot in order to take care of whatever I need to take care of in the day. And I'm always like, I get to do this, but it did push me into a zone that I don't get too often, which is like, why am I doing this? And what is this for? Do I even need to do this?
Yeah.
But I was able to remind myself, well, this is a challenge and you got people here supporting you. You can just get up and do it. You're almost done. You're over halfway done.
Right.
You can make it through it. You're not going to die.
Yeah.
You're all right.
If you told 12-year-old Nick Lee that you were going to do something like this, and same question for your multiple career paths.
Yeah.
What would he say?
12-year-old me was in a tree somewhere.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Milwaukee, but we lived on like there was a big field in our backyard.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was always out playing in the woods, but yeah, 12-year-old me would be like, that's cool. I love Jackie Chan. I love watching Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
But he would also be like, when are you going to play video games though?
Yeah. Right.
That's all I wanted to do was climb trees and play video games at that point.
When did you start doing jiu-jitsu?
I started doing jiu-jitsu, I think I was 26, yeah.
Okay.
I was 26, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And did you wrestle or anything before that?
No, I was a skateboarder. I skateboarded from like probably 12. I transitioned from baseball to skateboarding right around that age. And then I skateboarded until I did jiu-jitsu for like 15 years or so.
Did you keep your nose pretty clean through high school and all that?
Yeah. I didn't do anything like silly, I guess. Just regular teenage stuff. I had like one best friend and we just skateboarded and played video games and kept each other on that path.
Yeah.
Which was good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't get in with like any bad crowds. So
sure. Is that, yeah, that's interesting. I regretfully fall into fear too often. And some of that's just being a dad, you know? Well, and some of it's projecting my past on the world around me just because I did get into a lot of trouble.
Sure.
And so I'm like, gosh, I just want my kids to do well and yes. not fall into the traps that I fell into.
Sure.
But I'm always so hopeful. That's why I think there's such power in just sharing our stories. One of the reasons I love having a podcast.
Yeah.
It's because I can just hear your story and it's a hopeful thing to me. I go, oh, Tyler, not everything has to end in destruction.
You know what I mean? Yep. Agreed.
What about the gratitude thing? What would is that something you feel like has always kind of been a part of you?
Yeah, I think so. And we were kind of talking about like my youth and stuff. And I'd say my sister fell into a lot of those traps and had a lot of issues. And my siblings are all way older than me. So my nearest sister is 8 years older than me. My other sister's 10 years older and my brother's 16 years older than me.
Wow.
So I always had like role models to look up to. And my one sister, unfortunately, did a lot of things that I was like, I never want to do that.
Sure.
And so that kept me from like dipping my toes into things I shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And then over time, like I think I was like 17 or 18. And I decided like then I was like, my only goal in life is to be happy. Mm-hmm. Like that was my mission in life. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to be happy while I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got like a smiley face tattooed on my arm, right?
Oh, nice. That's cool.
But over time, the happiness trait transformed into a gratitude trait. And now I call gratitude like my main superpower, as in I get to do everything that I'm doing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Like I get to record this podcast with you. I get to train jiu-jitsu at 9 a.m,
mm-hmm.
right? I get to go to the gym and help people with their jiu-jitsu and share my jiu-jitsu. I get to read these emails. I get to do this, that, X, Y, and Z. And there's so many people in the world that would kill to have like any of these opportunities, right? To even have electricity,
right.
To even have running water, to have a car, to have family, to have dogs. Like there's so many things that we as people just take for granted on a daily basis. And if you can root yourself in gratitude, like if you're ever going through a hard moment, I've found just like shifting your perspective a bit to I get to do this and like look at everything that is going well in my life. I can take care of this issue that I need to take care of right now.
Yeah.
And it's not even an issue. It's just an opportunity for us to learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really. So yeah, that's morphed over the years. And gratitude is the single biggest thing in my life that's helped me just do so many things, I'd say.
That's interesting. So let me ask you this. I'll tell you the grievance I have with a certain way of thinking, and then I'll give one small disclaimer.
Sure.
Jiu-jitsu saved my life. Jiu-jitsu is life. All those things. I kind of have a bone to pick with that.
Don't
love it. Here's my disclaimer. I also just like, I think a lot of times people are saying the same things in different ways.
Yes.
And if that's your reality, like you really are just so grateful for jiu-jitsu or whatever the thing is, I'm not actually going to like be like,
we're not going to shit on that.
Yeah, exactly. But that being said, that grace being given, I just go, it's not the end. It's a means to an end. You know what I'm saying? For me, I consider jiu-jitsu to be a very powerful tool in the hand of God in my life.
Yes.
That's the language I would attach to it. And that makes a lot of sense to me. It's a means to an end. So if you go totally disagree, jiu-jitsu is life. And it did say, I want to hear all about it. If you, whatever. But if jiu-jitsu, what is it an end, a means to? What end is it a means to for you?
Yeah. So jiu-jitsu is a huge outlet for me because it takes care of, you know, the three arms, physical aspect, you know, you get a workout every time you do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Takes care of the creative aspect of my life because you do bring a creative side to jiu-jitsu. Unless you're following the same strokes that you've learned from your professor over and over, you're just copying. But at a certain point, and you know that happens with white belts and blue belts because that's what they've learned so far.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, you do start creating your own jiu-jitsu and you become your own artist. And that's why it's called a martial art.
Sure.
Right. And the other aspect of it is the social aspect and being connected with people. You know, physically, we're hugging all the time, right?
Right, right.
But afterwards, we're chatting on the mats. We're sharing stories. We're growing with each other. We're building relationships. And
right.
a few things I'm talking about here, but I believe the true value of our life is like the quality of our relationships, right? So your relationship with yourself to begin with, but then the relationship that you have with the rest of your social circle, the quality of your relationships oftentimes will tell you the quality of your life, mm-hmm. right? Because we are social animals. So I find that jujitsu, just like you said, as a tool, is very helpful for those three things. Because yeah, you got to be mentally fit, or mentally and physically fit, to tackle life, right? You don't want to just have terrible physical health. That's gonna be hard to do anything from that point.
Yeah.
Right. And then you got to have some sort of creative outlet. Like I said, it allows things to, when you create, your brain just feels so much better than 100%. If you just, you know, get told to do something and then do that for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then, yeah, the social aspect, but it is a tool. It is a means to an end, because like, let's say, God forbid you get in a car accident or something and all of a sudden you don't have legs anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. Like now jujitsu isn't there. So what is going to take over that place? So you got to have an internal dialogue and an internal perspective and internal strength to be able to use a different tool for those same types of outlets.
Yeah, I love that. And that, to me, what I hear you saying, it really touches an important piece regarding identity.
Yes.
Because we can't put our identity in anything. I like to say mm-hmm. anything that you could lose in a house fire.
Yes, exactly, you know? That.
Anything. So in that goes, I'm going to get real morbid here. So that goes for your baseball card collection.
Yeah.
All the way to your children.
Right.
Or your wife. They can't be the center of your identity. Jiu-jitsu, you could lose it in a house fire.
I agree.
It can't be your identity.
Yes. Because if you take that away, then what do you have?
Yeah.
And you see that with veterans very, very often, where their identity is in the situation they're in war.
Yeah.
And then they come home and they can't switch out of that mentality.
Yeah.
And they're like, they don't know how to live anymore. Mm-hmm. They got to go through that.
Well, and I red flag I see in myself at times that I just notice is if when I feel a certain way after losing rounds in jiu-jitsu, or losing rounds to a certain person, or a certain belt color, like a white belt or something, if I feel a certain way, I go, oh, I've over-identified with this because I've taken this personally.
Yes.
I've made it a part of me.
Yes.
Too much so that I feel that it's a personal attack. Of course, I don't actually feel it's a personal attack, but it feels that way.
It's the same feeling in your physical feeling, even though you're identifying it as something else.
Yeah. Like, oh, I need to separate from this because I am, jiu-jitsu is not me and I'm not jiu-jitsu.
Right.
But it does, I like to say we're amnesiacs. I learned it from a guy named Paul David Tripp, where what's so clear to us one day is like we never heard it the next day sometimes, which is why I think daily reminders are so important.
Yep.
And like, I know you're a big daily gratitude guy. In fact, I didn't even do that on purpose because you're always saying today, here's your
daily your reminder. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm on, today will be 15, I want to say, daily reminders, like 1,415 daily reminders in a row. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Recently, I've been skipping weekends, but regardless, that's how many daily reminders I've written.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you write those yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do write them.
Do you keep a record of them?
Yes.
Okay. That's cool.
Yep, I have a page with all of them.
Now, okay, I want to ask you, I'm intrigued by your story. I've met, your wife is Brittany, right?
Yes.
She is incredibly nice.
Yes, she is.
And you guys, I haven't had a chance to have extensive conversations with her when you guys have visited Open Guard. But from my interactions with you guys together, my listening to your guys' podcast, I go, man, these are just really nice people.
Yes.
Now, I would love to hear the story about how you met her. Because it's all very interesting to me, considering the whole family picture and what you do and all the how intimidating that could be.
Right.
So tell me the story.
Yes. So a little bit of backstory for everybody.
Please. Yeah.
Brittany's father is Brenton Fitzgerald, and he's the head professor and the owner of Fluid Jiu-Jitsu. He started Fluid. And so she's his daughter.
Okay.
So, you know, I started dating her, but I wasn't doing jiu-jitsu before I started dating her.
Did you know what her dad did for a living?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's disarming at first.
Yes. Yeah. That helps a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Because if I came into a gym and then tried to, you know,
date the owner's daughter,
that seems like a terrible idea.
That's tricky. Yeah.
Yeah. But thankfully, we get along really, really well.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't know what he did when I met her. The way I met her is, and I just kind of like ride life, like whatever is coming. And I'm like, okay, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So my buddy, he was in college. And I was working at the time. And he was like, hey, I'm going to go on a road trip. It's my friend and she's bringing her two other friends. So it's three girls and I'm the only guy. So do you want to come with me? And I was like, sure. And he was like, okay, we're going to Texas. And I was like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah.
So we had a plan for in a few months over the summer to road trip to Texas for like, I don't know, it's 10 days or something. Mm-hmm. And then, so I met them and then we started hanging out together so we could, you know, start building a relationship. So I wasn't this stranger on the road trip, right?
Yeah.
But then like a month before the trip, he ended up backing out of it. And he was like, hey man, I can't go anymore. And I was like, well, I'm still going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I did end up going on the road trip.
Now you're the only guy on the trip.
Yeah. Now I was the only guy, but it ended up just being us four.
Yeah.
And Brittany and I kind of connected through that way. And then the other funny part of it is after that trip, I was like, okay, yeah, I really like her. I'd like to continue this. But it probably took me like 6 months to convince her to date me back.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because we were both young at the time and, you know, nobody wants to get held down in the, you know, late teens, early
20s. Right,
right. But, you know, I'm kind of a all-in type of guy. Sure. So I was just there and I felt right. And I was like, yeah, I'm ready for you whenever.
Yeah,
you are. And then the rest is history, I guess.
Yeah,
we've been together almost 10 years now.
Was she already doing jiu-jitsu?
Nope. She wasn't.
So she didn't. She didn't do her dad's thing growing up.
No, she didn't.
Was it because it was dad's thing?
No, he tried to bring her to class.
Okay.
But imagine jiu-jitsu 20 years ago from today, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they had any women's classes?
Right.
Do you think they had any kids' classes?
Right.
You know, 20 years ago from now, I guess 2004, right? UFC came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
So people were just learning about jiu-jitsu then. Yeah. And it was all like meatheads just trying to murder each other.
Right.
In some, you know, dingy basement somewhere.
Now,
with mats.
Side note, that environment you just described, do you ever like want to get into that? Like, do you ever enjoy that environment?
I enjoy training anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't bother me. But is it somewhere I'd want to go every day?
Right.
Probably not. I'd probably want to go somewhere that feels better.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that makes sense. She didn't. Because, I mean, her dad must have been doing jiu-jitsu her whole life, right?
Yes. He's been doing it about 22, 23 years or something like that. And he wrestled in high school. And the story how he started jiu-jitsu is his brother was a blue belt, brother-in-law at the time. Maybe a white belt.
Yeah.
But Brent was like a pretty good wrestler. And then in the basement, you know, they moved the coffee table and they're like, okay, wrestling versus jiu-jitsu. And then his brother-in-law helicopter armbarred him. And then he was like, okay, I got to sign up. I got to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he found Henry Matamoros in Milwaukee and he's been training.
And he's
forever.
Like a pioneer in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah. He's like the main guy. He's actually from Pedro Sauer Association. He was one of Pedro Sauer's fighters.
Okay.
And, yeah, Henry Matamoros had like the first school in Milwaukee. John Friedland's from there.
Okay.
Yeah, Brenton is from there. A lot of the people started with Henry in Milwaukee.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
I only have had the chance to meet Pedro Sauer once. And it was so funny because I met him outside of a jiu-jitsu context. I met him at a funeral.
Oh, yeah.
And he walked up to me and he goes, hi. So I was officiating the funeral.
Okay, yeah.
I'm a pastor. And he walked up to me and introduced himself to me, not knowing that. Well, I'm like, yeah, I know who you are, dude.
Yeah.
You're the man. But yeah, he was like out of context.
Yeah, he probably thought it was you as the pastor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the officiator. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he was super nice and was like, hi, my name's Pedro.
Yeah, but he's always that nice.
Really?
He's always that nice, yes.
That's cool. So you, by all your years in jiu-jitsu, and then also your family, you've had the chance to meet some pretty incredible people, huh?
Yeah, since, yeah, because I'm close with Brent. So whenever Brent's doing something,
yeah.
And now Brittany and I both train, we're like, okay, we're here too.
Yeah.
Not like we're riding his coattails, but we're part of it, you know?
Did you and Brittany start training together?
No. So yeah, when she was a kid, right, there was no, she went to the gym and it was just big, strong, sweaty, shirtless men. And she was like, these people stink and this is not fun for me.
It's gross.
Yeah. So that turned her off for a real long time. And then Brent ended up opening the gym. That was 7 years ago at this point. And because he had been training with a lot of other people. But yeah, he opened his own gym. And then it took him like a year or two to get me to come to the gym. You know, I had all the excuses everybody has.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I'll try it. And I'd always loved martial arts movies as a kid. So I'd always wanted to. It really was the schedule for me. But then, yeah, I went in there and then I was like, holy shit, I love this. And then I competed in like half a year or so. And I was like, this is it. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
So now, yeah, I've just been training ever since.
Yeah. How long have you been married?
It'll be 5 years this September.
Wow.
Brittany and I. Yeah. So just about 10 years we've been together and 5 years of marriage. And yeah, Brent and I have a wonderful relationship. And I think it worked out really well that Brittany and I dated before. Mm-hmm. And then I started training. And then a year after I started training, Brittany started training.
Yeah.
I want to say. So, yeah. Wow. And then we brought everything together. And now we have really strong relationships in the family. And Brent and I are also business partners with the second gym.
That's cool.
And everything there is wonderful, which is super cool.
So let's close up shop with that. Tell me about, I want to ask you this before I ask you about all the stuff that I want people to know about.
Sure. Yeah.
With you. Obviously, Fluid, that's your deal. White Lotus, you're associated with. You train there, close with you, work with Josh, whatever.
Yep.
Outside all those of things. The two places I know you love, what are some of your other places around in the Milwaukee area that you love to train at?
I don't know
if I'm supposed to ask that or
not. No, that's fine.
All right. Cool.
But I do like going to Combat Corner. So
on the Fridays?
I do try to go there on the Friday open mats.
Do they have other secret brown belt stuff?
Well, not really, but I train there. I train the kids there for City Champs.
Oh, right. Yes. Cool.
Yeah, that's one of the places that I get to teach kids. And it is a really underserved area. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome that the kids get to come in there and they have such a good time. And the facility is really nice. So I'm happy that I get to go there once a week and train the kids and check out the facility. And
yeah.
They make really good stuff there at Combat Corner. Yeah. So there's that. And then the open mats are super fun. I'd say really, I like training with everybody in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Like there hasn't been a gym that I've gone to where I'm not welcome back or that I wouldn't go back to.
Right.
You know, so
we do have.
Yeah. Open Guard is wonderful too. Yeah, I've been there a few times. I did last time I was there was a Jeff Curran seminar, which was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have a lot. I've every time I travel with a gi and my stuff. So I've been,
of course,
I feel like in 3 years of training, I've been to a good amount of gyms around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's jujitsu everywhere, but I do feel like Milwaukee, there's a lot of great places to train, man.
Yeah. And I feel like Milwaukee does a really good job at like breaking down the cultish barriers of like, if you train here, you can't go here type of thing. Like, I don't feel like that exists. There's a little bit of it, but
sure.
I don't feel like it's prevailing over the whole sport. Like if you train here, that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy.
Yeah, and Primal does a really good job at mixing everybody together with the Pancration at Primal thing.
Yes, I love Primal. Scott's been on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love what they do. One thing I noticed about Primal, one, exactly what you just described, how they just break down walls. They go, everybody come on. They invite people to their open mats, these Pancration events. But then also they make a point for competitors in those Pancration events. They go, we're going to let you have a walkout song.
Yeah.
And we're going to introduce you. And I like to think about it as, so if you walk outside that door, you're going to find two massive bins full of costumes for my 3-year-old boy and my 7-year-old boy.
Okay.
And they like to dress up and play pretend. And it's amazing.
That's fun.
I've had two Pancration fights. And I feel like I was doing the same thing in my 30s.
Yeah.
And of course, it's pain and it's submissions and it's winning and it's losing.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I got to pretend to be a UFC fighter for three-minute rounds.
Absolutely.
And yes. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, there's nothing that feels like that.
Yeah, they make space for that. They go, what does Scott call it? Razzle-dazzle.
Yeah.
He goes, we're going to let you have music and we're going to have lights and whatever. It's super cool.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. And it's something that you need to draw upon if you're a fighter going through that journey, because it's so difficult to break out into the professional scene, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, and I like that Scott also seems to speak into aspiring fighters going, like, if you sign up, show up, mm-hmm. trying to, like, get guys to see.
Yeah.
Treat this like a job, dude.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. It's hard to be professional when you're young and whatever, but if you can think about, especially in something like this where you're not in a cubicle, you know what I'm saying? So I appreciate that investment they have in people.
Yeah, absolutely. They do a good job.
So where can we find you? What do you got going on that people should find out more about? Daily Reminders, yeah. All the way to your academy.
Yeah, so Daily Reminders, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook. I'm always on my stories there. I also send it to a message to people directly if they want to sign up for that, which is cool.
How do they sign up?
They just text me.
Oh, cool.
Or just respond to one of my messages and like, so you don't miss anything.
Right.
I'm open for that for sure. So there's that. But Josh and I also, like I said, we split the personal coaching from my Odyssey into Gentle Art Lifestyle.
Cool.
And we have a Patreon that we just opened up for it also.
Oh, cool.
So we're doing lifestyle videos where we talk about coaching topics. We do like a short form podcast similar to this.
Cool.
And
that's all through the Patreon?
That's all through the Patreon. Nice. There's some free stuff in there. Yeah. Absolutely. And we also have jujitsu instructionals that we put onto the Patreon.
Cool.
So there's a little bit for the people that are in this space, right? That are interested in personal development, that are interested in listening to good stories, that are interested in learning jujitsu. And it's a place for all of that. And that's why we call it the Gentle Art Lifestyle. We also have stuff for like meditation and ice baths and things like that, because he does the Breathe Social events also, which are like, you know, massive 50 people coming to do an ice bath and yoga and meditation and stuff. So the Gentle Art Lifestyle Patreon is our newest thing that we're working on putting out content for. But outside of that, Fluid Jiu-Jitsu Mount Pleasant, you can find it on Instagram.
And that's near Racine, right?
Yep, that's here near Racine. My Instagram is xnickxleex. It's from when I was, 16, but when I was hardcore.
And you're hardcore, man, right?
Right.
Straight edge.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been spreading the good word of cold plunges around here. So after training, I'll take a group of guys up to the lake here.
Oh, yeah, it's right down the road.
Get it. Yeah, I mean, it's great.
That's amazing.
My goal is 40 for the year, and I'm at 31 in March. So I'm like, I maybe set too low of a bar. But it's harder to find the really cold water. You got to do more work in the summer to get it.
Exactly. Cold,
you know? Anyways, I had someone ask me. They're getting in. They had never done it before. They go, Tyler, do you know the breathing technique we're supposed to do?
Yeah.
I was like, you're going to have to ask Josh and Nick about that one, dude. I just get in and tough it out.
Yeah, on our Patreon, we have it recorded, not posted yet, but we have a Wim Hof meditation session for that coming out. So, yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, so that's what we're pushing. There's a free level, and then there's other paid levels for different stuff.
Yeah. Listen, man, I appreciate your kindness, your time. You are, your entrepreneurial spirit is inspiring.
Thank you.
I've been a fly on the wall of your conversations with your wife. You're very respectful. I think how somebody speaks to a woman shows a lot. So you're very nice to your wife, at least when the camera's rolling or the podcast is going.
That's a slice of life for us.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. And when we were rolling today, I remembered this concept. I thought about it like a clock.
It is.
If you can shut down one sprocket or whatever in that wheel of sprockets, then you shut down the whole thing.
Yeah, we call it the cog theory. Every submission has a chain of cogs that click, like different gears that go down the chain to finish the submission.
Yeah.
And if you can pull out one of those gears, one of those cogs, the submission chain will not finish.
Well, I had heard that on a podcast sometime in the past, and I apply it all the time, and I applied it today. And then as I was applying it, I go, oh, wait, I learned this from the person who's trying to choke me right
now.
Because that's a sound, that type of thinking.
Yes.
That type of explanation. Sorry, I promise I'm not trying to
preach. No worries.
But that's, if you look at the words of Jesus and all of the recorded words, that's how he taught. He goes, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And then he'd describe a farmer in a field or whatever.
Yes.
That's such a good way to teach.
Yes.
Let leave it to people to have to not think too concretely, but think abstractly and get there.
Absolutely.
You know all of that. All that to say.
I love
that
it.
That connects with me in the cog theory. Dude, so smart.
Yeah. That's a Brenton Fitzgerald thing right there.
That's cool. Well, thanks for coming on the show, man. Anything
thank you so much.
Out in the world?
No, I think that's it. Yeah, feel free to find me on the internet. I love talking to anybody about anything, really.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you.